stop on this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep center. Fetch back. Away back. Yeah. She is gone.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Boom, and we're live. Welcome back to another episode, episode 22 of Boys of 161st Street podcast. We got some bad news to start. Not even Yankee related, but we got some bad news to start because we just got the good news that Gerrit Cole would be pitching, because just to preface this, we're going to spring training this weekend, game Saturday, but he's pitching on Saturday, but not at the stadium we're at, because it's a split squad. So we just got the news. Murph came to me, he was like, oh my god, Gerrit Cole is pitching. And then he was like, oh, he's pitching at Steinbrenner's Field, and we're going to
JetBlue.
We're going to JetBlue, South Fenway, because our friend is a Red Sox fan, and we wanted to make him happy, but I also wanted to bring a sign that says, Cora stole my other sign. So that's the reason why we're going there. But anyway, but yeah, that's some bad news why we just got.
Yeah,
so.
definitely not bad news, but definitely kind of a honey dick. I just was reading. We were just kind of waiting to start recording. And we know it's a split squad. And I was kind of doing the math earlier. And I was like, well, if Cole pitched today, there's a pretty good chance that he could pitch over the weekend. So, like, maybe. But then I was like, well, he probably wouldn't travel if there's a game at Steinbrenner, but, you know, we'll see. And then I saw Cole pitching Saturday, got really excited for a second, and then realized that he's staying at Steinbrenner and pitching against the Tigers. And we're seeing Yankees-Red Sox. Figured that'd be a better game out of the split squad. We'll be there. So if you're in Fort Myers for God knows what reason.
Yeah, but regardless, I mean, he was going to pitch for, like, he pitched an inning today. And actually, let's talk about that, because he looked... I mean, I say looked, dude. It wasn't televised, but I mean, from the stat sheet, it looked pretty good. He faced, I think, four batters.
I was watching some guys' live Twitter feed when he was pitching.
I watched that too, actually, Damon.
I didn't see that, but I did see his stats, and he went one inning, no hits, no runs, a walk, and two Ks. That sounds pretty fucking good to me.
I'll take it.
And he topped out at 98.
Yeah, fastball hit 98. Yeah. Boone actually said it was good work for him. His stuff was there. He was sharp, kind of what he expected, knowing that he's going to be a little bit shorter. Another good step for him. Like, they knew he was going to go an inning, I think is what he meant by a bit shorter. But yeah, I think all expectations that we had for him today are kind of hit pretty well.
I mean, spring training isn't like anything, really. Like, it's just a time for everybody to practice. And I saw some tweets the other day, and it was like about the lineup. Some were joking, I think some weren't joking, about them freaking out, like, oh, Boone should be fired, why Gary isn't starting. Just pump the brakes a little. I don't know if you're kidding.
Show the fuck out.
One kid was kidding, and I deleted the tweet after, but some people aren't kidding, and some people think that spring training is a legitimate competition. It is in a sense of, like, position battles, and there are some of those, but it's a time for people to get their work in, maybe test out a new position, like Miggy.
Yeah.
It's a time for, I mean, the Ford Voigt battle, the Miggy all over battle, people coming back off injuries. We had a lot of those last year. So spring training is just a time to really just work out the kinks, just get ready for the season. So with that being said, let's do our best job of overreacting to the spring training, because I think I saw some funny ones out there, and I just forewarning, this isn't real. This is just us having fun. So
can we actually go back quickly? Who started today at catcher if Gary didn't? Is that what you're talking about?
No, what? Huh?
With the okay, never mind. Sorry.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Zoned out for a sec there.
No, I was just Winston, I wanted to do.
What I was gonna say is that there's a catcher battle behind Gary.
Oh, Kratz or.
Yeah.
Oh no, Iannetta. So Iannetta.
It's Iannetta. Iannetta. Higashioka. Yeah. So I was gonna talk about that, but I guess we'll save that.
So my overreaction is, everybody's been saying this, but Hap Cy Young. This is for any of the three games. Hap Cy Young. Hap looked good, and I'm gonna say Hap Cy Young. But in all honesty, though. Murph made a face. Let me finish, though. I mean, in all honesty, retracting that statement, Hap was one of our most consistent pitchers last year. And I'm not saying he's going to be Cy Young, but I think he, I mean, I don't know, 33 hit different to me. He's wearing 33 this season versus 34. Something about him, I don't think he's going to be bad. I think he's going to be one of our better starters for the beginning, obviously. I don't know. What do you guys think about Hap?
Damon?
I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
Like,
that was just ridiculous.
I don't mean actual Cy Young. This is an overreaction segment, Damon.
I'll give you this. He's going to have to be one of our best guys in the beginning of the year, especially if this Severino injury pans out to be our worst nightmare, which, given the last couple of years and our injuries, it very well could be. He very well could be out for, you know, however long. We already know Paxton's most likely going to be out for 3 to 4 months, so... Like, if we get the Hap that we saw a couple days ago for the beginning of the season, great. Do I think he's even...
It's just an overreaction segment. Yeah. Right. Let me overreact and then dial it back a little bit and give a real
out of context, though. I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, we're going to need him to be a top four caliber starter for the beginning. That's it.
Damon, what do you think about this? Because I just say... All I'm saying is he's going to be a viable pitcher, and it's not really like we're throwing some bum out there. Like, he can get it done. That's basically what I was saying.
I totally get you. I was just fucking around. Yeah, I mean, he's a great pitcher. That's why we signed him in the first place. He comes out, you know, throwing hard and, you know, doing what he did a couple of years ago, and he's got a fucking chance if it's an overreaction. My overreaction is Clint Frazier, everyday left fielder. and I'm bringing my
steaming hot take there.
I'm bringing my boy back. Yeah, he came out and he was approached by some reporters and he was like, I feel like I'm back against the wall all off season, coming back and ready to fight. He hit a nice line drive into the outfield that someone caught it, but it was nice and it was hard and it was into the outfield.
Snaps for him. Line drives.
I love that mentality. Line drives.
That's my hot take. I think that even so, because I know Aaron Hicks is going to be out for a little while now, even like after the All-Star break. So who knows? I think it's a fight for some playing time between him and Talkman.
I love that mentality by Frazier. I think it's going to do nothing but help him out and help out Talkman. I love Clint Frazier. I guess not quite as much as you do. I'm the Tyler Wade fanboy. You're the Clint Frazier fanboy. I'll give you that.
So what am I?
I don't know.
stupid.
But so I don't know. I just think that his mentality of this is my position that I want to go fight for and nobody's going to hand it to me is going to push Talkman and it's going to push Andujar when he's trying to get some reps in left field, and it's just going to create this competition that we're going to want and enjoy watching throughout spring training in the outfield, because there's only three spots and we know that how much Boone likes having a good glove in the outfield, so that's really going to challenge Frazier and Andujar to figure it out defensively, because we know they have the bats.
So,
and Frazier came out and said that the offseason was much needed for him because he was overwhelmed with the 50,000 fans going at him all the time when the fly ball was in the air.
See, that doesn't fly, though. That doesn't fly because he is not going to avoid that. And that's horrible, honestly, for me to hear. And I was about to praise Clint. I was about to be in your wagon just – talk.
I think it was nice because he like obviously acknowledged it, but then he came back and said, "Look, I'm ready to fight now because I understand that this isn't going to go away."
I mean, it's nice to hear that he understands, because before last season, he was like completely under the impression that he was God's gift to the earth and he should be starting every day, and he didn't know why he got sent down and all that stuff, and he was very immature about it. So it is good to see that he kind of needed that, but. That's a bad mentality. Like, I mean, I get it. I don't know. In my opinion, that's kind of a bad mentality because if you're fighting for a starting job, you're going to need that. So it's not – you're kind of almost backing down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. But he's also just being honest. He was just saying, like, it kind of got to him at the end of the season. And he took that, realized that he needed to adjust in the offseason, same way he realized that he couldn't catch a fly ball. So he had to adjust in, like, the offseason to learn how to play defense. Everyone knows he can hit the damn ball. He hit fucking 12 home runs in, what was it, like 70 games or something last year. and he fucking killed it. So we obviously know what his flaws are. So that's, again, that's just my hot take.
Yeah, I agree.
And we know what he brings to the table with the bat. And honestly, for an overreaction segment, I don't even think you said every day left fielder.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, the battle that he's in is him, Talkman, Gardner. That's it. I mean,
Stanton and
Andujar
when he comes back. Like, what are the outfielders? We have nothing but outfielders.
We've talked about this a lot. Let's revisit it a little bit. What do we actually think about the Andujar situation in the outfield? Because we talked about it before and how they were going to do it in spring training, but now they have a little bit. So we've seen a little bit of videos and not really much, but I know, Murph, you said you wanted to, you had a little bit of a change of heart on it.
Yeah, I originally was against it, and anyone who happened to listen to that episode knows that I didn't really like him moving away from third. I figured if he couldn't play third, why do we think he can play left? We're not going to be able to hide him in left field in CMLB. But there have just been, you know, so many players who move from third base, and his bat, I think, is just going to prove to be one that we can't keep out of the lineup. And we already have, you know, Stanton kind of who's a DH-looking guy. We have a lot of – Sanchez is going to need a couple days off behind the plate. He's going to need to DH. But Andujar's bat is going to need to be in the everyday lineup, especially – I mean, he went yard already in the spring. Like, I really think he's going to have a big year from the dish. And, you know, if him in left means we can keep Gio in his glove at third base, then that I think I'm okay with that. And especially if he can move around a little bit, maybe between third and left – when we get into July and August, that's going to be a really big deal if he has the versatility to play a couple spots. I'm still not in love with it, but I think it could work out.
I mean, it's mainly literally just for the flexibility standpoint. But honestly, I don't know. I don't see him playing too many games in left. I think maybe just a couple times, honestly, under seven for the year, in my opinion. No, my opinion means nothing. I'm not making the decisions, but from the eye test, I don't really see him doing that much in the outfield.
I don't see him starting a game in left
field. Yeah,
you don't think he will at all?
Like we just said,
I don't think he'll start in left field. I think if anything, he'll start at first base over left field for sure.
I can see him moving to left after coming in as a pinch hit in some games and then just maybe we flex him for a couple innings out there.
Definitely.
But actually, you know, I retract that because then that would mean he'd be coming in towards the end of the game and you usually put defensive replacements out during that time.
No, but he could swap. I think he could swap for sure, though.
A little double switch action.
Have you ever seen in Moneyball where they go and they interview Scott Hatterberg and he's like the catcher and they're trying to make him go play first already? And they're like, oh, tell him it's not that hard. And he's like, it's incredibly hard. Like, I mean, I just kind of like that's – I just keep thinking of that when I think of Andujar going over to play first. Like, all of a sudden, if he's not going to play that much in spring training there, like, you're wearing a whole different glove. Yeah, it's still the hot corner, I guess, but you're picking balls. Like, it's not like moving from catcher to first where you might have that kind of glove muscle memory down or something. I think it's a really incredibly difficult position switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We've already seen. I mean, he already hit a home run. I mean, it almost wasn't a home run.
They
didn't know. The video didn't really give a good look at it either. He didn't see it, but it went out. So first home run of the spring, first home run of the season. I mean, we always know he has the bat. That's never been a problem. And honestly, he's got one of the best bats when he's hitting. He's a 300 round hitter.
Mm-hmm.
He can hit for power. He loves doubles. I see him playing an enormous role on this team. And honestly, I mean, I know Cashman said it's Gio's job to lose, basically, but I would not be shocked, and here's my overreaction again, because we'll stay in this, if Miggy does take the job. This is basically off of one home run, but I mean, I think it's honestly more of a lot of people think Gio has a job locked up because his defense is great, which I do agree with, but I think Miggy's bat is so much better, and I don't know if Gio can produce at the level that he did last year. So that's why I know Miggy's bat's proven. And it's honestly a matter of what's easier to improve, Miggy's defense or Gio's bat for the long term.
Well, Gio hit like 300 last year. Rid of that. That's the thing. We can't like assume that he's going to regress down to like a 260.
But you can't assume that he's going to stay at that level.
No,
too.
You're right.
So that's why I'm saying,
I think it's going
to, in terms of raw talent, I'm trying to say, I think Miggy has that edge. And I think we've seen Devers improve on his defense, and with young players, I think he can get better at defense. But the only problem I have with that is if he's in a position battle at third with Gio, he's not going to get much time at third, so he's not going to get better at fielding. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna, he's kind of, I don't know, it kind of shoots him in the foot in terms of progressing as a defender. So I don't know. It's a sticky situation.
Yeah, but I also feel like that what Aaron Boone does such a great job of doing is using every player that he has to his advantage and changing the lineup literally every day.
I agree
with
that. And
using the players to their skill set based on the pitching matchups, based on the team that they're playing, and he switches everything out like a chess game every single game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes this team so fucking good, is because fuck it, you can put Miggy at third, first, or left, and he'll probably do a decent job throughout the game, right? And if his bat's in the lineup, that's just, that outweighs that, almost that liability even. You know, even if he's not, if he does a little bit, you know, a little bit of work in left field and in spring training, gets the hang of it, you know, I feel confident putting him literally anywhere because I know he's a great baseball player. And that kind of goes for a lot of the other players on the team.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with that because we've seen Boone just do a really great job of working with players that have the versatility to move around the diamond, i.e. Glaber, DJ, those kind of guys where he can shuffle between shortstop, second base, first base. He's really creative at keeping their bats in the lineup while going through and getting people rest. Like he can move DJ to first, he can move Glaber to short, he can have Glaber play second, he even moved LeMahieu over to third on occasion. Like, so just having one more player that can play multiple positions is going to really benefit the lineup card and what Boone can do with it. I completely agree.
And I feel like that, because of that, this is going to stay with the overreactions. I think that this puts Voit and Ford in a very shitty position, because I think they might be the odd people out if you can throw people at first base and they're not producing, if they're streaky hitters and they're replaceable at first base, you know. I would not be surprised to see them sit out for, you know, extended period of time.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring up Voit and Ford, because honestly, if I had to pick one, if you want to dive into that again, we've talked about that a lot, but now that we're close to the season, we've seen guys saying, oh, I'm in the best shape of my life. Everybody's in the best shape of their own life, which is nice to hear because last year everybody's hurt. So, I mean, not bad to say that. But honestly, if I had a gun to my head and I had to pick one or the other, I don't think it's as decisive. I think it's a lot closer than a lot of people think it is. I mean, I think
we've all said it's been close.
Yeah. I know. I'm saying like the fan base, because I feel like a lot of people think that Voit has it locked up. Ford can do it. Ford showed us a lot last year. He's a lefty bat. He can clearly hit. He bats like 400 in the minors, 500 in the minors. Like he can rake, and then he figured it out. After he slumped when he came up, but then he figured it out.
He's not a young guy. He's like,
he's good.
He's not a veteran, obviously, but he's like,
he can pitch too.
In terms of,
Ford was one of those guys that was too good for the minor leagues and couldn't quite figure out the major leagues yet. And then towards the end of the season, started to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah, he can hit. He can come up in clutch too. He's walked off.
Yeah. And Voit was just a big name guy who made a couple of headlines, and that's why everyone recognized his name, and now they all say he's going to play the first base.
See, I wouldn't exactly say that though, because I don't want to downgrade what Voit has done. Voit was unbelievable, and during the stretch of injuries, he's one of the few people that was consistent all throughout. He got hurt late, but he was the one that held this team together along with DJ. I mean, I'm not discounting Voit, but I am saying that don't discount Ford. If that's a tight position battle, and you are right, Damon, I think with the DH, they might end up being the odd man out because DJ, if he's going to move over to first sometimes, like he's a Swiss Army knife there. You got to throw Wade in the mix sometimes. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't necessarily get the nod over other people, but I don't know. It's just interesting to look at, and I think my main point there was saying it's a lot closer than people think.
I think the reason for that is because – well, we're talking about Ford and how he was hitting 400 in the minors and then came up. He played 4 years of college ball, and I think he's 26, 27 now, so he didn't have very much time in the minors. No matter how well you do, you're going to need that time in the minors to develop. All of a sudden, when you're going from facing, you know, a pitcher from Yale to then all of a sudden, you know, you're facing major league arms, you're going to have a little curve there. But I think since he's an older prospect, I guess you can't really even call him a prospect anymore, but since he's an older guy when he came up, he's had his year, and kind of like similar to how Judge was. Like, he came up and he's going to be there and he's going to be there and he's going to hit.
Yeah.
I think.
All right. I think that's a lot of enough of the overreactions. And other. What?
No, I was going to say go into some injury update because, you know, we talk about position battles.
Yeah. So, with a little bit of the injury updates, I know we've seen. Hicks, we got a little injury update on him. Damon, do you have everything in front of you?
Yeah.
If you want to go into that.
Yeah, so I know that Hicks was – he said he's probably going to be out until the end of the All-Star break, which is unfortunate. But, again, I think we've already talked about, you know, moving players around and kind of filling that void. Yeah, and then – also, Paxton, I know that Aaron Boone was talking to some people yesterday about him, and there was some good news with him. They said that he could probably start throwing within the week or 10 days or so. They said the surgery went well and that he's on a pretty good timeline. So kind of some good news there.
Yeah. And honestly, with Judge, it's also apparently not nearly as severe as everybody thought it was.
Yeah, so Judge did a couple MRI tests, but on his shoulder, but they didn't see anything. And then I know he's been progressing every day, so he did some tosses and some catches with some teammates, and then he did hit off the tee. I think on Friday.
All right. I mean, I'm not worried about Judge. The one I am worried about is Seve. I mean, and that's just completely just again eye tests, like. And based on his track record, Seve just isn't somebody who can stay healthy. And Seve, I mean, he had like when I heard loose ligament or loose something in his arm.
Yeah,
like,
so it was his. I think it was his forearm.
Yeah, and it was wasn't it only on his changeup?
It was only on his changeup, and because you know when you grip a changeup, you choke up on the ball a lot, so it puts a lot more like pressure on your forearm. I don't know something, like, but it's just it really scares me with him.
Stiffness and tightness, but. The good news was that they said that it was way too early to assume anything because they did some initial tests and nothing came back that was negative about it. But the assumption right now is that it is something to do with his UCL, if you want to guess what that means. the cliff notes is that it's too early to tell, but they're taking it day by day.
Yeah, but I mean, too early to tell. It's a weird scenario because, like, I mean, I'm just basing it off of him, and, like, we haven't really heard some great, like, when it comes to his injuries, it's usually worst-case scenario. Like, he doesn't really do well with injuries, for lack of a better word. I don't know. He just, to me, I'm just nervous for him, and I'm nervous when you talk about the forearm, it's usually linked to Tommy John, and when you go to this doctor, what's his name? It was Dr.
Aham. Amen.
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 Oh, what are you? He's like the Tommy John specialist. He's like the Grim Reaper when it comes to that. Like when you get sent to him, it's because you have Tommy John. He wants to have the final say. So that's what makes me nervous about the situation, and just obviously based on his track record. But honestly, I don't want to jump to conclusions with that. But if he does have this injury, he's going to be out to like midway through the 2021 season.
Yeah,
and then he just got the extension of 4 years, $50 million, I think it was. And it just comes to the point, like, do we keep the guy now? After that, obviously he's extended through, I don't know when, but it's just like, he's starting to, like, bring up that question. It's just,
I don't want to say, oh, sorry, Damon, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's a tough conversation to have because we all thought he was going to be our ace for years to come, last year or 2 years ago.
That's why I don't want to say anything too, like, you know, damning to him because, you know, first of all, we don't know what it is. We don't know if it's the AC or the Tommy John, and we don't want to say, like, do we keep him and think about that.
No, I'm not saying now. That, but, you know, I'm just thinking out loud and just saying, like, these are questions that are in my head, and the inner, some, like, little part of me is thinking, like, what if he's never as good as he was in 2018? Like, what if... I don't want to say that out loud, and I don't want to believe it, but, like, 10% of me is screaming, like, Seve ain't it. Like, he's just never going to be back to what he was. And, again, I hope I'm wrong. And I don't really believe that. And I don't know. It just it scares me. Because in 2018, he was absolutely fucking dominant. But injuries have always plagued him, and that that's happened with so many players.
I mean, we can't really say that yet because he had one. He's had one injury. It was a, granted, it was a big injury last year, but he's like 25 maybe years old. Like he's still a young guy. He can even come back from a Tommy John surgery, even if he is out, God forbid, until 2021.
Let's not talk about back, Tommy John. We don't know if it's happening yet. Yeah. But
that was the point that I was saying.
Yeah, all right. But, yeah, we're on the same page then.
Right. Also, Tanaka had pretty much the same injury in 2014.
Yeah, he just never got the surgery.
Yeah, he just never did anything really about it, and he's kind of fine.
You can opt to not go for the surgery, and then you just never get your velocity back, which is why he used to be a power pitcher to some extent, and now he's just like more of a finesse guy. But
that was a huge adjustment period for him, though, and you're not going to adjust that in one season.
Yeah, so obviously we'll have more news when it comes around, but that's the one I'm most worried about. And honestly, another person I'm most worried about is CeCe. Because, everybody is getting the injury bug, but it hasn't left, and CeCe just can't escape it. He's retired now, and I don't know if anybody has seen this who's listening, but the guy goes on, he says, I forget what he said, he's like, I can't wait to be able to do things that I always wanted to do that I wasn't allowed to do because the team didn't let me go skiing and stuff like that. And he goes on a skiing trip with his family, kids, the whole nine, and he tears his ACL. And I feel bad laughing, but like, it's just, come on.
Everyone that I know that skis is dead. Sorry. It's from the office. So. I don't know if you'd pick up on that. D'Angelo Vickers. I don't know. Bad joke again. But that's just such a bummer. I just feel so bad for the guy. He's finally, free of a contract that's holding him back from doing all the stuff that he probably wanted to do, and he's 45. He's probably like, hey, let me go skiing, probably ran off the side of the mountain and ripped open his ACL.
Saw the video, but he like... It shows his. It's like a GoPro commercial.
Oh, there's a video?
Yeah, there's a video. And
I didn't see that.
We'll probably post it, but it's like a GoPro commercial, or whatever it was. The logo was on after it was done, but it shows like his family, and like you can't really see anybody because they're all wearing ski gear, and you can't pick out who it is. And then it shows him at the end, and then we're like, which one's CeCe? Which one's CeCe? Which one's CeCe? And then you see CeCe at the end, and he's like butt sliding down the mountain, and he tries to get up, and he can't get up. And it's it's just a bad look. I don't know. He just can't escape this injury bug.
Poor guy.
I love CeCe, but come on, man. You might get my Ellsbury Award this week. I don't know.
Did we mention much about Hicks? We said All-Star break, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's going to come back after the All-Star break. It seems like a regular yearly thing for him. He comes back around the All-Star break. And then he's big. He comes up big time. I love Hicks. It's just, I mean, he's another one. We extend him, and then he seems to be injury-plagued again. So, I don't know, maybe these extensions, just give out 1 year contracts.
I'm so much more worried about the pitching though. Obviously.
No, I agree.
But like we've proven that position players we can toss them around and we can switch them up, but we can still win games.
I don't want to hit the panic button. I know last year when we had all these injuries, we had our ongoing panic meter. In your house last year.
Yeah, we put it on the chalkboard. We had it and the Red Sox.
My panic meter is low right now, but I'm also looking at this board that we're looking at, kind of following what we're talking about. And there's four very big names up on this like injuries board, and we're three games into spring training, and none of them except for Hicks were hurt, 3 or 4 weeks ago. So like, not panic button, but like, pretty unfortunate.
Is February at the end of the day, but like you said, I don't like seeing those names on there and already having to deal with it. Yes, Judge is probably going to be fine, knock on wood. I mean, Paxton, we can win games without him, and he'll come back nice, and we have a good bullpen. We can maybe throw a few bullpen days in there like we have last year. I don't know if everybody likes that, but, I mean, there was that stat that we were, like, undefeated in bullpen days. I don't know how much weight that carries because they don't really pitch more than the first inning, obviously. But, I mean, it sucks to look at that.
I really wish we had Herman right now.
I mean, he's just a fucking idiot. I mean, we're going to have him halfway through the year. I don't know how everybody feels about that, whatever, what role he's going to play. But, I don't know. The pitching, which we thought was going to be a huge strength of ours and still is, but it's just a little bit up in the air right now in terms of injuries. But I don't know. Moving on. In other news, we didn't want to talk about the Astros, but they just keep more shit keeps coming out, and it's just so funny that the way they handle everything is just wrong. They handled every single thing wrong. Like they go out there. There's I don't know what fans they were of at the game. I think they were Nationals fans. They were Nationals fans, and they had signs that said like Houston Astros or whatever it is. And the staff of the stadium at the Houston's spring training stadium go and they take them. So the Astros, it's not unfortunate at all. It's funny because you obviously see the posts that say like Astros are stealing signs again, but they're actually stealing like paper signs. I don't know. I just thought it was really funny.
I'm bringing so much poster board to Florida. I'm making so many signs.
Yeah. I wanted to make the sign.
Did you came up with that Cora stole your other sign? Yeah. That's a funny one.
Yeah. I'm gonna make one that says Cora stole my other sign. Because he's obviously not gonna be there, but we're playing the Red Sox that game. So we'll make a few because I guarantee they'll be taken, so we'll hold them up as long as we can before. I just don't want to get kicked out. So I don't know.
Be kind of cool.
Anything for the content though. So going in that same it's that same topic. Altuve gets up to bat today, and he gets the shit booed out of him, which, I mean, you love to fucking see.
I don't know. That's a reaction, I think.
Why?
It was a curveball. I hit his fucking
foot. I'm not talking about the hit-by-pitch yet. I'm talking about him just getting booed.
Oh, sorry.
An overreaction to booing? Would you not boo him?
No. Oh, my God. I just said that I thought you were talking about the hit-by-pitch.
Okay, so shut the fuck up for a second. So he got booed, and I loved it. Agree or disagree, Damon?
I loved it, yeah.
Okay, great. For the record, so now he got hit by a pitch. So now you want to talk about that?
Yep. No, I feel like I'm out of place. You go for it.
I'll talk about it then. So
go ahead.
I didn't watch the Astros spring training game today, but I was scrolling through Twitter and saw like Altuve got hit, blah blah blah, and I'm thinking like, all right, it's his third. Wasn't it his first game and his third at bat?
It was his first at bat. He got booed at, and he struck out that at bat.
He got hit by that game, though.
I'm not sure.
I think it was three. But like, so the guy, I don't know who hit him, but it was probably somebody who wasn't in the MLB. So I'm thinking like it was probably an accident. But then I was like, well, then again, maybe not.
You know what's funny, though?
And then I found out that it was the curveball, and it really wasn't malevolent. But it kind of is fitting, and it's a little bit of, karma or something. That he was the one to get hit. I'll take it.
I'll definitely take it.
The thumbnail of the image for, like, the article was, like, a picture of him with his helmet falling off. So I thought someone beamed him in the fucking head.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
And I was like, holy shit, this is going to be so cool.
This season's going to be sick.
It was a fucking curveball. It was a curveball to the foot. And I was like, it's fucking clickbait, man. I suck it. That's how they get you.
Yeah, you know what I thought about that, though? Because you know how they have the penalties that they're going to have for anybody who throws out the Astros? This is the perfect way to go about it if it was intentional, which it's not. But if they were to do an intentional hit-by-pitch, this is the perfect way to do it. Throw a prospect out there that's going to have no impact and just fucking beam him, get out of there, serve your time in silence, and doesn't impact the team.
I guess. But, like, the Tigers, I don't know. I don't know if the Tigers would be the team.
They need something to stir up some fans there. That was the most – did you see how many fans were at that game? Yeah, more than they have at a regular season game.
No, there's going to be a lot of fans at a lot of Astros games.
And they're going to sell out.
And you were saying, like, get used to it and that kind of thing and –
they should get used to it.
It really is. It's going to happen at every away ballpark. They're going to get booed all the way up until they come to Yankee in September. It's just going
to
happen.
That kind of pisses me off. That do you think the schedule makers did that on purpose? Like wait that long to come to Yankee Stadium?
But like I was thinking about this, and I was like,
we're going to the game.
Proud of baseball and the fans for jumping so hard on this. You know, we all collectively don't like the Astros, don't respect their players because the players didn't get any fallout. And I don't want to get stuck on this for too long. But, I mean, could you imagine being hated by the entire community of baseball collectively for something that's actually malevolent? Like, everyone hates the Yankees, but it's different with the Astros. It's so much different. Everyone feels like they got robbed by the Astros. And they're going to go to every ballpark and get booed by everybody. They're going to go try to sign, like, some kid's hat. He's going to be like, no, screw you. You're on the Astros. Like, that kind of thing is literally going to happen.
That's going to eat at them. Like, that'll impact performance, obviously, because
I mean, think so.
Confidence is everything. We see, I mean, bad example, but MLB The Show, if you think you're going to get a hit, you're going to get a hit just based on confidence. And that's true with also baseball when we used to play it back in our washed up days. But I mean, if you are being yelled at and booed the entire time, get popcorn, hot dogs thrown at you, whatever the fuck might happen, I'll be the first to toss one. But
yeah,
I mean, that gets to you.
Also stood out. But we also talk about the fucking Astros. But
last closing comments, then we'll talk about it next week.
One more quick thing. Saw an interview with Bregman. Did you guys see that?
No.
Yeah,
it was a Bregman interview, and the guy was like, you know, do you think all your flash and your flair, you know, holding up number four after scoring, like, do you think that's all going to go away? It's not going to be part of your game. And he just looked so defeated. He was just like, yeah, you know, I think we're just going to go out there.
It's going to be a long road. It's going to be a long road. So if he's defeated now, fuck him.
I think it's...
We got him.
We got him. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
It's way harder to play the us against the world card when you actually did something to deserve the world against you. Like, we always say, Yankees against the world, but like people hate us because, you know, we win championships. And then people hate them because they cheat and win championships. Like they have a real reason to hate them, and they're going to start saying, oh, us against the world, we'll still get there, we'll do it the right way. But when it's June and you're getting booed and, you know, like – in guaranteed rate field out in Chicago, and you're just like, wow, like, this sucks. Like, this is awful. It's 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and I'm getting heckled by some guys from Chicago.
Like, I'm getting heckled by a 13-year-old kid.
It's really going to wear on him as the season goes on, especially the young guys. Like, I don't know.
I mean, Yordan Alvarez, I mean, young guy, hasn't played since, I mean, his first year last year, and then second year in the league, and then you got this shit.
Yeah.
Well, and who knows? Is Yordan good, or did he just come in and his rookie year he cheated?
I'm excited to see.
Yeah. All right, that's enough Astros talk, probably till next week. And next up, not really overreaction. This is more of a real picks. I don't even know what I'm saying, but
it's just a reaction.
Who you got for breakout candidates? Because there are a few, and we kind of mentioned it. But honestly, I think I might pick Clint Frazier also, Damon. I think this might be the season that he does kind of pull it together.
Let's go.
The bat is obviously crazy bat speed. He's got the hitting down. I think I don't think he's as bad of a fielder as everybody thinks. I think
he can figure it out.
He's never been this bad of a fielder in the minors. Like, it's never been a glaring issue until he made a few stupid mistakes. And it honestly might have been something to do with concussions, because the guy loved running into walls. So
yeah. I think the after effects are huge
in that.
He dove for a couple of balls they shouldn't have, got a little excited.
Yeah, he was trigger happy.
And it affected his whole game.
Yeah. Okay, and when you got it, you're so in your head, and he's a person who's obviously in his own head, just a mental midget, it seems. Like, once you get past that, make a few nice plays, and honestly, right now, early on in the season, in spring training, it is so important for him to make these plays, because if you get ahead of that, get ahead of the mistakes, and you start making good mistakes, obviously the confidence thing we were talking about,
yep.
If you get ahead of it, you nip it in the butt right away, you ride. You keep going, you ride the hot hand. But conversely, if you make some diving mistakes and you just miss the ball, whatever the fuck it is, that's not going to be true. He's not going to break out, because he's going to keep... He's so in his own head. So he's an emotional player in that respect. But mm-hmm. I think this could be a potential Clint Frazier year. And who knows? This could be a guy. He has the potential to be an everyday left fielder for years to come. He's got the talent. So, and I'd love to see him in the lineup. And as you guys remember, he was amazing for us last year during the times when he was up in the middle of the season, and he honestly, to our surprise, got sent down. And to his surprise also, he was a huge, with everybody getting hurt, he was a big reason why we kept winning games.
Yeah,
and like I said, I say this all the time, but he's one of those confidence guys where when I watch him play, I feel confident when he's hitting.
Yeah,
and I feel confident
to the eye test.
It's the gut test.
Yeah, that's what we'll call it.
You know, and I love players that give me that gut feeling of just, I'm going to fucking rip the ball right now.
I think I can predict what Murphy's breakout candidate is, because he's
yeah.
Team Wade all the time, all year.
I'll always say I think Tyler Wade's going to have a big year. I think if he figures out the bat, then that's great. And I think he will. I think he's going to be on the roster most of the year, and I think he deserves to be on the roster most of the year, especially because of his versatility and his speed and his feeling brings a lot to the table. Unless he flat out can't hit, then I could see him maybe getting set down. But I think he'll be able to figure it out. I think he can hit pretty well. But I actually want to talk about somebody else who may or may not come up this year. But I was just kind of scrolling through articles about the Yankees prospects because I want to see who to watch in spring training and whatnot. And they're talking about, you know, there's Devi Garcias of the world, the Clark Schmidts that might come up this year. Dominguez is a big prospect. I know he's not at MLB spring training, but still. One guy that I read about that I really think everyone should watch is Luis Medina. He's another pitcher. Similar to Devi Garcia, they're comparing him, but he has really good stuff, just struggles with his command. He pitched today, actually, against the Pirates, gave up a run, unfortunately, but he has a really, really, really good fastball on a scouting report. So on the 80-20 scale, 80 being high, 20 being low, he has an 80 fastball, a 70 curve, and a 55 changeup, which is pretty good, and especially for being so young. I believe he's 20 or 21. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm trying to find it, but I don't know. Regardless, three pitches in the minors. The article that I read said that he has three established pitches, which most minor leaguers don't necessarily have. He could be a reliever option because he has such a good fastball. Hits 100 consistently. That was the big thing. And he is 20, he's 20 years old. So he won't be up this year probably, but he's somebody to keep an eye on during spring training while we can keep an eye on him. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I remember you were talking about this kid too, and you were tooting his horn a lot. I mean, I haven't really heard of the kid a lot, so I mean, I'd be excited for a kid like that, 20 years old, to top out at 100.
I believe he's our 7th or 8th prospect. Maybe 6th.
So with that being said, do we see guys like Devi Garcia, maybe Clark Schmidt making an impact this year? Obviously, injuries permitting, but like a lot of people have asked that in the DMs and stuff. Do you guys see Devi coming up or Clark Schmidt?
Yeah, I think that with especially Yankees seasons and how they usually go, I think that we bring up pitchers more than anybody, especially the way that we just consistently have these up and down seasons with pitchers. I'm expecting them to come up and play.
You're expecting it?
Yeah, I think a small role or a big role, I think that I would expect them to come up some point throughout the season.
All right. Those are big words.
I think hot take.
Expect.
This is a big hot take episode.
Yeah, definitely a lot of hot takes being tossed around.
I could see him coming up this year, obviously, pending on injuries. I kind of think he would more likely come up in a bullpen situation, maybe be kind of a long reliever, maybe come in after an opener if it comes to that. Hopefully it doesn't. But I just think he's going to come up in the same way that we've seen Severino came up a couple years ago. You know, he was kind of – didn't look great, but, you know, it's okay. He worked out the next year. Same with Herman. He's going to come up in that same kind of fashion. Loaiza is the perfect example. I think he's going to come up in that sort of fashion. I also think Loaiza is going to have a really good year if he has the opportunity.
I don't know. He scares me with – he's got the gas. He's got the stuff. The strikeout stuff, but he just never can find the zone. Like I've seen him, I've seen him with the four pitch walks more than anything I've ever seen.
We said that about Herman. We said that about Severino. We're gonna be saying that about Medina. We're gonna be saying that about Devi. That's because they're young, but they're gonna. That's something that you can figure out.
We can't translate that to everybody.
I'm agreeing. I'm just saying that I think they're.
I know.
We've seen it over and over where these guys come up, struggle for a bit, and they're okay. These young guys that have high expectations because it's hard to pitch in New York, and that's part of it.
Yeah. He's got definitely has the stuff.
Loaiza was my breakout guy.
Oh, was he?
I forgot we didn't even get yours yet.
Yeah. I thought you did Frazier. I'm sorry.
I did.
You did Frazier. I was going to do Frazier, but I think because you took it, I'm going to give some respect to the Loaiza guy. Because I think, he looked really good. I know it was spring training. It was only through one inning, but he looked really good. He threw a shutout inning his first game. And I think he just has a lot of
raw talent.
Yeah, but also he has I feel like he can only go – not only go, but, like, I think he has a lot of potential to get extremely better.
Extremely better.
He's a long way to go to get there, but I think I think he can go up instead of going all the way down, if that makes any sort of sense.
Makes a little bit of sense.
I can just really
It's a lot of potential. That's all I'm trying to say.
I can really see the narrative coming into fruition now with having Paxton and Sebi both kind of on injury watch. And even Montgomery's coming back off Tommy John. You never know how that's going to go. I could see the narrative play out where Loizaga makes an impact early while these guys are not pitching. Maybe by the end of the year when Herman comes back and that maybe he's not up. Maybe he's in the bullpen. Who knows? But if there's going to be a chance where he could get, you know, starts in the beginning of the year. And if he, you know, pitches well in those starts, you know, he'd be really nice to have. And he'd be kind of in that next man up kind of thing.
He did really, really well in the beginning of the season and then kind of just fell off again.
So I wouldn't say really, really well.
You know?
I don't know. He's so streaky. He is another one who's so in his own head. I don't know. I think he definitely has his stuff, like we said, but he needs to put it together in terms of the confidence. And, yeah, that's it for me on that. Another question I wanted to ask you guys, if you guys want to move on from that, is obviously you know we were in the running for the home run record last year, and a lot of that is in part to – could be attributed to the juice balls. We don't know what ball we're getting this year. So let's say they do adjust the balls a little, because I think it's entirely possible that the balls can be – brought back to what they were, or at least changed from being the juice balls that we saw last year, because it was kind of evident. Like, even players knew. You got Gardner saying shit like, I mean, he hit a fly ball to right field in spring training that died at the warning track, and he's like, that ball's out last year. Like, it's well known around baseball that the balls were, in fact, different. So, assuming that we do get a change in the ball, maybe let's just, for the sake of this conversation, it goes back to the original baseballs that we had 2 years ago. Do you think we break the home run record that was set last year by the Twins, assuming health?
If I have to bet on it, no.
Like, if I were a betting man,
I wouldn't bet on it, but I could see it. I guess we're saying with the normal baseballs or with the juice balls staying.
Back to normal baseballs, but a healthy, fully healthy team. Because, again, we nearly broke the record. We were in the race with the Twins.
I don't know.
With one home run.
I don't know. One of you guys can talk about this. I'm a little confused.
I think we can because a fully healthy team, we didn't have that last year. And the power hitters are the guys like Stanton, Sanchez, who was out a lot. Judge was out for a lot of the year. I mean, are some of our biggest power hitters. Voit spent some time on the IL. Everybody spends time on the IL. Hicks, everybody. Like, if we have those guys in a full season,
yeah.
I mean, the home run numbers will rack up. Juice balls are not. They're not hitting wall scrapers. So that's why I'm saying, like, when Gary hits one out, it's out by 100 feet. So I don't think the juice balls necessarily are, like, a dictation of if it's going to be out or not.
No, you're right.
So I think if our guys are healthy, fuck yeah, we can break the records. We broke our own record with the B team.
But if it was odds, would you bet on it?
I'm going to take yeah. Because if they're all healthy
I'm not confident at all to bet on it. But I think that, you know, I feel like this record's been broken the past 3 years, 4 years in a row. And I think it's going to probably get broken next year too. But if we're going to do it, it's just, I don't know, it's just so up in the air. I don't know.
If you had to pick, gun to your head.
I'm saying no.
I'm saying yes.
No.
And I think, honestly, with the Twins, too, they got more power as well. So it's going to be down to us again, probably. I mean, they added the bringer of rain, Josh Donaldson, to that already powerful lineup. So that's another narrative that we have to watch. And it's definitely going to be us coming down to the wire again. But I'm going to take yes. So anyway, moving on. I wanted to get into a little bit of close the book on last season, move forward to the next season. So I wanted to get your guys' favorite Yankee highlight of 2019, and then also who you think is going to be making the best highlight of the Yankees season in 2020. My personal favorite highlight of last season was probably the Hicks catch, and I probably stole that from a lot of you. But honestly,
I told you that before the show.
I did steal from Murph. I literally robbed that from. All right, so you could be fine.
You robbed that just like Hicks robbed it. No, take it now. Jeez.
No, I like that one, and honestly, I would have picked it anyway because I like it. The whole that game was amazing. And me and Damon saw We honestly didn't really watch the whole game. We saw the end of it, and we were surprised that it was still going on because we went to go see Spider-Man. And then on the way back, we're like, yo, they're still fucking playing. And then we come in, and I forget what inning it went to, but Hicks actually hits the home run to tie the ball game to go ahead. And then he ended up obviously saving the game with that catch. So that game against the Twins, obviously, too, another playoff contending team. We obviously swept their ass, but just that whole game, the narrative around it, and just Hicks's, just the way he just changed the whole game alone, that was the best play for me.
I remember where I was for that, too, which is oddly enough. I was up at my grandparents' house, which no cable, no Wi-Fi. 3G, so I couldn't stream anything.
3G.
3G, so I couldn't stream.
Fucking worst.
So Twitter's, like, I'm scrolling through Twitter trying to get the updates because I didn't have enough connection to stream it.
On your phone?
What'd you say?
You have an antenna on your phone?
Yeah, right. No, so and all of a sudden, like, it took me 5 minutes to load the video, and I got I was getting the updates, like, the push notifications about it, but I couldn't load anything to watch anything. And then finally, like 30 minutes after the game, the Hicks catch finally loaded. Because I had, you know how Bleacher Report, just every play that they send you sounds like it's going to be the coolest thing you've ever seen. Yeah. And usually it's pretty disappointing. But, you know, so I got like, this, I forget what it said, but it was like Hicks makes catch of the year, saves the game. I was like, I need to watch this. So I finally, after 30 minutes or whatever, it loaded and I was blown away by it. But
so you picked the same one as me?
I'm not picking the same one as you. No. I am picking the most, like, roller coaster moment ever. I'm taking DJ's home run in game 6. Was that yours, Damon?
No, but I'm okay. Sad.
Yeah, no, we were at a bar that night, and you guys were even there.
Yeah,
and
I have a funny story about that, actually.
We were all paranoid, like, kind of watching the season dwindle away. Relic gave up, told him not to.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. And then,
right, I'll tell my side after you're done.
And then when he finally went yard, the whole place erupted. And it was wonderful for about, you know, 15 minutes.
Less.
Maybe less. But.
So I'll walk you through my situation with that. So, obviously, I'm down in the dumps. Didn't give up. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm down in the dumps because, obviously, we're seeing the season slowly fizzle out, and I didn't like seeing it. I'm sitting there. There's a jukebox next to me. Don't know why there's still jukeboxes in places now. I'm sure Murphy has a lot of them in the Great North.
We do.
So there's a jukebox next to me. I'm just, you know, leaning on it, kind of sad, borderline crying. And all of a sudden, I didn't give up. All of a sudden, DJ hits this home run. I jump, scream. Everyone's screaming. I'm absolutely yelling as loud as I can. I've actually never, honestly, I switched my answer because that I've never.
Oh
felt,
my god!
I've never felt. Crazy. I've never felt so, like, that was literally euphoria. I was so happy in that moment. I don't care about what happened next. If we're talking single moments, that is absolutely the most happy I've ever been. And just when that happened too, I was so happy. I didn't give a fuck about anything. I actually, to bring back to the jukebox, I needed to bang something, and I slapped the jukebox as hard as I can, not knowing it was the jukebox. And the whole thing goes black, and I fully broke the jukebox. Everyone's going nuts, tossing drinks. The security guards come over and they, like, they're all like, just settle down, settle down. I thought I was gonna get pinched for the jukebox. They didn't even notice it, probably because nobody fucking cares about jukeboxes anymore, aside from Murph. But that was just the best moment. And I think we can hold it in a separate instance as I know what happens next, but I think it as a standalone highlight. That was unbelievable.
If you insist on stealing both of mine, then go right ahead. Damon, what's yours?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I mean, I would have picked that too, but just for, you know, for some conversation points. I'm not going to pick one moment, but I think that watching every Red Sox-Yankees rival game last year was a big highlight of mine. So I think that was just... I don't know. That was fun
to
watch.
What a cop-out that was. You just... That is not a moment.
I don't think that's a cop-out because we...
That's not a cop-out?
Like,
you just said the Red Sox Yankees games.
You guys just pick the two biggest ones and make it a fucking talking point.
Think about the London series, how much fun that was to watch. We hit the ball.
That would have been a good example. If you said Red Sox Yankees series. They played 19 times.
I'm with you, Dan. If you put all of the home runs that we hit that series, it would have landed back in New York.
We're all watching it because we haven't been able to watch, like, a. Fuck you.
Yeah. No, honorable mentions are Savages in the Box.
I forgot about
that. The Talkman robbery, I think, against the White Sox, maybe?
Ford Walker. That was against the Orioles, idiot.
Was it Orioles?
Yeah.
Ford Walker. We could talk about Glaber against the Orioles, that stuff.
So, all right. We can just sit here and talk about highlights. Just honorable mentions. Who do you think makes the best highlight of this year? This is just nonsense, but
I don't love this question, but I'm going to go D'Angelo Urshela just because he's the best fielder in the corner. Like,
You think a fielding highlight?
Oh, I get it. Well, yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind.
Who makes the DJ like highlight of this year? Who you got?
Yeah.
Tyler Wade.
Damon, why don't you go first? I promise I won't steal yours after you say it.
Oh man, that's tough. I'm gonna go with Gary.
Gary.
Ooh, Gary, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think Gary's gonna come out. I think, first of all, I think he's going to make some crazy behind-the-dish plays, but I also think he's going to get some clutch hits as well.
All right. For the sake of it.
All right, throw this question away. This is stupid.
Yeah, no.
So, another thing. Do you think we retire A-Rod's number? That would just completely change gears on that.
To preface this, the Mets gave away David Wright's number 5 in spring training, and we gave away A-Rod's number 13 in spring training. So the debate's kind of up. Like, granted, they're not retired yet. Technically, you can wear those numbers, but shouldn't it be kind of an unspoken thing that maybe you don't wear 13 in spring training, maybe you don't wear 5 in spring training?
Yeah, I think that's more of what it is. And I think the Mets should have...
I feel like that's just funny. David Wright is more retirable for the Mets than A-Rod is for the Yankees, but I still would not be upset to see A-Rod. 100%. I wouldn't be upset to see 13 retired.
I just think it's funny that they gave away 5 already.
Yeah, but to be fair, we gave away
3. I think whoever took that number is more at fault. Like, how do you just be like, yeah, it's cool. I'm just going to take David Wright's fucking number.
I would like to know if he picked 5 or if they were given 5. Because most of the numbers are taken. Like, maybe he's, like, you know, one of the last guys on the roster.
Yeah. All right, well, that was...
Imagine Tebow switched to 5. The outrage.
He's still playing.
Yeah, he got invited to Major League spring training. He was on the non-roster list, I think, or something.
So I actually had an unrelated question that I was going to open this podcast up with, but I guess I'll fit it in here now. So I was at a bar over the weekend in Vermont, and there was a guy, it was a sports bar, there was a guy watching a game. And he was watching the game when I showed up there. So my question to you guys is, I know this is a big unwritten rule and whatever it is. So what constitutes like a channel switch? So, like I go there, he's in a Colorado Avalanche jersey, he's watching the game, I don't know how long he's been there for, what allows me to change the channel to a different game, like, what scenario has to happen? Like, let's say a playoff game is on or whatever, I wanted to watch the spring training game, so obviously I don't have the right, but it just brings me to the whole, like, narrative of, like, what allows you to have the switch, how many people do you need to have, like, if you have a group of 3... And a guy was there already watching the game. There's one TV.
Yeah, one TV is bizarre enough. But yeah.
I mean, I'm just scenario wise.
I think regardless, any playoff game takes priority.
Over a regular season game,
and
obviously.
Any preseason game doesn't.
Even if the guy has been there for however long, you walk into a bar.
If you're there
any playoff game of any sport is priority.
If you're there first, regardless, I mean, unless if they're, say they're both regular season games. Say it's, I don't know, whatever.
Colorado
say it's,
Avalanche, say, right, Yankees.
Let's say it's April, though, and it's regular season for both. And you go in there. He's wearing an Avalanche jersey. Yeah, watching the Avalanche game.
Does that
was
add?
There before there.
Does that add to it? If he's wearing a jersey, does that add?
Yeah, because he's clearly actually cares about the game.
I don't know. I mean, I wanted to watch some Yankees spring training. I obviously know I have no ground to stand on. No, I don't know. I'm just saying, in general, like if I walk in there and there's a playoff game on and he's in there watching an Avalanche game, and I got two of my buddies with me. How many people do I need with me to override his watch?
I think spring training to
I'm not talking about spring training anymore.
Playoff game, right, I feel like would take precedent. But how would you feel if you're watching Yankees regular season game in June, and somebody comes in and says Avalanche are in the playoffs, a group of three of them, and you get kicked off that?
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. It's a public place. If you got three, like if let's say you come in with a group of four, it's obviously on him to be the guy to offer it up to change the channel. But I don't know. You got a group of four watching.
I think maybe at that point you offer a little bit of switcheroo. Hey, maybe we'll watch a little bit of yours, a little bit of mine, go back and forth, commercial break action. I don't know.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. I just thought it was an interesting situation that I thought I'd bring up to you guys.
Speaking of interesting situations, unrelated to the Yankees but related much to baseball, Madison Bumgarner, probably the coolest double life, double alias, whatever you want to call it, that I've ever seen. So in the off season, he is a rodeo participant. He ropes animals in the rodeo. under the alias Mason Saunders.
He has a different name?
Yeah, Mason Saunders.
Yeah.
Why does pretty he have similar a to Madison.
Why does he have a different name?
Because it's an alias. It's a full-blown alias.
But why? Like, why because not just Madison Bumgarner?
Because it breaks his contract. He can't do that. He can get
so he was
that.
Hiding it?
Yeah. It was so an alias.
Could he get in trouble for this?
So here's the thing. He can get in trouble for that. The D-backs, the D-backs found out, and they don't care. I guess. So I don't know if they said I don't know if they don't care because he wasn't doing it while he was on the D-backs contract or if they
I feel
said
like
he
you
keep
can fully get hurt doing this. That's they should
well,
care.
That's what and he did get hurt. So he said he got hurt. Hold on, let me
this
see.
Is more
so
bizarre this is than the Cespedes thing.
Yeah, no, this is off an AP article. So he in 2017 he got hurt. They said he got his hurt his shoulder in a bike accident, missed 3 months of the season. Apologize. And everything, and they didn't have the Giants didn't press the issue, but there's like skepticism going around that maybe it wasn't a bike accident, maybe he hurt himself doing this. And he also, under the alias of Mason Saunders, won $26,560 at a team roping competition this December in the offseason.
This is so, also coming at a time where he was not making money with the team, so well, this is his main source of revenue at the time.
Technically, yeah, he wasn't, but like. I just think it's like the most bizarre story. I think it's the coolest story ever. I love
well,
it.
Actually,
every second of
now
it.
That I said that, does that play into the Diamondbacks not having any control over him because he technically wasn't with them at the time?
Yeah, I don't think he. Yeah, no, he definitely
he wasn't.
With him
he wasn't
in December,
an I guess, employee of any
no,
team.
But he's been doing it. It's been an ongoing thing.
so the Giants should have more.
There was a picture that surfaced. That's like how people started noticing or whatever.
Of him on the horse.
Of him, yeah, no, like, yeah, actually, I think he was on a horse. But it's just.
This is ridiculous.
It's just the most unbelievable story. I don't know.
Anyway, bear with us for a second here because we got to pay some bills.
Oh,
just
wait,
keep,
hold on.
Keep
sorry,
the lights on. No, go.
Sorry, I just saw this part of the article that I was looking for. So he told The Athletic that he had been competing in rodeo events for a while, including in March last year. He did a rodeo event 2 days before pitching for San Francisco in a spring training game.
This is crazy. I put this over the Cespedes situation.
Oh, yeah.
Like 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, this podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest and safest way to bet on all things sports. With March Madness, the Masters, Major League Opening Day are right around the corner. BetOnline has the latest, all the news and odds to help you win big. The best part is you receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Head over to betonline.ag and use our promo code BLUEWIRE, all caps. Actually, the caps don't matter. Disregard that. To revive your literal free money. Plus, signing up is a great way to support our podcast if you're listening to us right now. Again, the promo code is BLUEWIRE, all one word, when you sign up at betonline.ag, BetOnline, your sportsbook experts. So you got a picture.
In the meantime, during that read, we got some pictures on Facebook of Bumgarner in full.
Oh my God.
Full
rodeo clown.
Like pretty,
so run me through this. I know you're a man of the north, so what does he specifically do here? I know this
so
is
so all I know, I've been to the fair a few times and they
you
do this. Yeah, there's a fair near me. Yeah.
So you've seen this?
Yeah, the Washington County Fair.
Have you seen Mason Saunders
do his thing? I don't believe so. But, yeah, no, so they just ride around on horseback and, like, throw their lassos around bulls and then tie them up.
Around bulls?
Well, like, small bulls.
Like, how small?
Like, hurt, like, cattle. Not bulls, sorry, cattle. Like this.
It seems hard. Those are some action shots.
He's been doing it since he was a kid, he said.
Is this a team sport?
I think there's two of you. At a time.
And you, so it's just me and you like running around.
One kind of like drives it in one direction, the other uses the
This is kind of a fucked up sport.
I think we need to do some sort of random sport segment where Murph just breaks down some great sports.
I'm not an expert on it.
Like an ESPN like 8 the Ocho sort of situation with dodgeball. We could do that going forward. Weird shit that Murph does up north.
Shout out to Washington County Fair, though. If anybody from the 518 is listening, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
I mean, all the minor league hockey games you go to and just get plastered at alone.
Not alone.
Isn't it BYOB there, too?
No. Right. Dollar Bush Lights in the first period.
Anyway, you guys want to get into Murphy's Law?
Yeah.
So Murphy's Law, if you are just joining us, is a betting segment. We like to bet. That's basically it. So this week, I think we're going to go into some props and futures as the season is just about to start. And just to preface this, I think... It's funny that one of our crewmates, Jake Cortman, he really wanted to bet on spring training. And just to kind of put this message out there, please don't bet on spring training. There is no way to predict spring training. We're 0-3 in spring training. No, that's not going to be the narrative for the rest of the season. There's no way to predict it. Garrett Cole is starting today. That throws off the line, and then Garrett Cole only pitches an inning. I don't know. It just doesn't seem rational to me, and I know people are out there betting on spring training.
I was close today.
I've done it before. It doesn't work.
I did not do it today. I lied that Florida State at half, and they hit. But I did not bet on spring training today. So first prop. We're doing prop bets just kind of for the season. Some Yankees, some not. I found some good lines. We'll start with the Yankee, though. Garrett Cole prop bets. Oops, sorry. Wrong one here. All right. Over or under 16.5 regular season wins?
I'm going to hammer the over on that. What did he get last year, 20?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, yeah.
What was the over under?
16.5 wins for Garrett Cole.
Oh, my God. Hammer the over. What are you talking about? Next question.
Yeah, I'm going to do an exacto box. I'm going to say he gets 19.
Yeah, they score a lot of runs.
I'm saying 21. Yeah.
Either way, over. If you're listening, take the over. Lock it in. What was the line on that?
I might lock it in right now.
16.5.
No, the line.
Oh, minus 110. Yeah.
Okay.
It was even.
I like it.
So, I think the reason that it's lower than 20 is because he got 20 last year, and you never know if he gets hurt. Even if that thing about that line is that he has to be healthy for the entire year to hit that. If he misses, you know, 5 or 6 starts, the chances of that dwindle. So you can't really set a line for a pitcher at 20, because then I would take the under every time, no matter who's pitching. But, yeah. Next one. Over or under 280 regular season strikeouts.
So what did he finish last year?
He has averaged 301 over his last 2 years in Houston.
That's unbelievable. I mean, you got to... He's a young guy, and he's going to continue to get better, as weird as that sounds. I mean... A lot of people are thinking, like, you had a historic year. Like, you can't expect that out of him again, similar to a DJ situation with the numbers that he put up last year. But why the fuck not? I mean, life's too short to bet the under. Yeah, so no. I'm not going to take the under. Sure as fuck tell you that.
I mean, I'm not going to take the bet, but if I would, obviously, for the same reason, okay, I would take the over.
Let's put that in there, too. Are you going to pass or take the over or under? Do you feel strong? Do you feel strongly one way or another?
I think that all of these prop bets are fun to talk about, but the fact that most of these, if you take the over, is relying on him staying healthy all year, I don't think it's smart to take either of the last two.
I mean, overreaction. 100%. He looked pretty fucking good today.
It was one inning in February. All right, next one. Garrett Cole wins the Cy Young, plus 400.
Is he the favorite?
I'm pretty sure he's the favorite.
Yeah, fuck it, let's do it.
These are stupid. I'm going to pick yes on every one of them. I'm not going to say no.
I think that's good odds. I think the odds of it.
Oh, we're talking just value, because I'm going to pick him to win the Cy Young. I'm going to pick him to strike out more batters than they're expecting.
Well, if you're putting real money into it, would you do it? That's the question.
Yeah, I'm an irrational Yankees fan, probably.
Truthfully, I think that there are better odds on better pitchers. Not on better pitchers, but just better odds in general. Like, plus 400 on your first. Now he's plus 225 on my book. So that's terrible odds. I would not take that. But the next ones are Sale and Verlander, who I can't picture either. So I can't picture either of them getting it.
I think Verlander falls off a cliff this year.
And I don't think Chris Sale's going to win a Cy Young. So, like, I think the value lies in, like, the Shane Biebers maybe of the world, maybe the Charlie Mortons of the world, maybe the Tyler Glasnows of the world. But, yeah, no, I think Cole has a really good chance of getting it.
Yeah, the line isn't sexy, though.
But the line, yeah, I don't love the line. All right, that's actually it for Gerrit Cole. But I will tell you about, they have some Mookie ones if you guys want to go into that.
Sure.
We're betting. I know he's not a Yankee, but maybe we'll, be a little more objective and not just smash the overs. All right, over under 2.925 batting average. So we'll just say it's a 2.93.
Damon?
2.93.
Yeah, we'll round it.
Yeesh. What's the line?
-110.
-110.
Yep.
Yikes. I don't know. I think I might take the under. I'm gonna take the under on this one.
He's a career 301 hitter and has hit over 292 in three of the last four seasons. But Fenway Park is very hitter friendly. He's switching.
That was my point.
Yeah. Not only teams, but friendly leagues.
I think the new ballpark and getting used to that, getting used to all different pitchers, because in transitioning leagues, is also a big factor.
But he's also going to be on a team that's going to be a competitor, so that you know, that could give him an edge. I actually could picture him having an MVP type sort of season. And then he's not going to do that if he hits under 295. So
the thing with him, he's got great protection too around him. So with Bellinger's gonna be behind him. I mean, Turner.
They're not gonna be able to pitch around.
You can't pitch around him. So any bets, I mean, he definitely has a chance to win MVP. He's definitely got a chance to do a lot of great things. Why don't we move into the DMs? Because we got a few to get through. So first DM comes to us from Justin Alonzo. So he said, fuck, marry, kill, Altuve, Correa, Bregman.
Nah, I'm not answering that.
Okay. So then we're just going to throw that one away. Sorry, Justin, if you're listening.
Sorry, buddy.
Billy Justice says, what was your go-to bat in Little League? That orange stealth hit different. Fuck, hell yeah, the orange. I mean, you answered the question for me. The orange stealth with the blue handle was the best bat in the world.
I was an F2 kind of guy.
F2? I don't know, the orange stealth was actually disgusting. And another stealth that, before BB Core became a thing, because BB Core just made everything less fun. Obviously, I know it saved lives, but the black stealth with the orange handle was unbelievable.
Black stealth, for sure.
I'm trying to find the name of the one that I had, and it's driving me crazy.
I had the F2 before it was the CF. Remember that? It was a CF345, but I had the one before that.
Yeah,
before it was
the DeMarini?
The gold one was sick, too.
I had the DeMarini Voodoo in high school, but I'm forgetting.
The Voodoo didn't do it for me. The Vexum.
Oh, I loved it.
All those ones.
I used to have it was like an Easton Synergy or something, but...
Synergy sucked. That was like the poor kid on the team had the Synergy.
All right, well, the great bats weren't exactly sold at
Glens Falls.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I actually didn't play Little League between. I played up until I was in about, I think, fourth grade, and then I went back on the big diamond after that. I think I missed majors in Little League. I played lacrosse. For 2 years, switched to the dark side. Yeah, and then they put me in goal and I left.
All right, next question comes to us from a friend of the pod, Greg Lombardo. Just brace yourself. These are usually ridiculous. So Would you rather work as Charles, the Chuck E. Cheese mascot, for 3 months, or would you be basically an alias, the person, the tribute to send out to take every hit by pitch the Astros will get this year?
I would literally rather do anything else than get hit by 45 fastballs. Yeah, that's a horrible question.
Greg, you gotta ask a better question.
You're going out there knowing that you're just gonna get beamed for the fastball.
You just basically go out there and you just predict the future. You're gonna get hit by a pitch this at bat, so you go out there and you take the hit for them. They won't.
I really don't think they're gonna get thrown out very much.
So would you, if you were to switch up that,
I think we should switch up the question
to get hit by a Chapman fastball in the cheek.
I would absolutely rather. You would die.
One, just one. In the butt cheek.
Oh, the cheek.
I meant the face. You wear it 105 on the corner.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm taking that.
You're taking that?
Yeah,
I mean, just keep in mind, you got to be Charles from Chuck E. Cheese for 3 months.
I got to push him back there. I'll be all right.
All right. Next question comes to you from Thomas Sinertia, Quinnipiac guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he said, most likely to happen, health permitting, obviously. Cole wins 25-plus games. Stanton and Judge combined for 100-plus home runs. That's a lot. Or Glaber, top two MVP, or Yanks win 110-plus games.
Shoosh.
Those are all kind of steep. As we just visited the Cole wins situation, if I had to pick, I'd pick probably Glaber.
I was going to say that, too.
The Glaber, top two MVP, or the Yankees winning 110-plus games. Because if healthy, I think we can smash the 99 game mark that they have for us with the whatever rating that was.
More realistically, I'm picking Glaber, top two MVP for sure.
I actually think, health permitting, if that means that everyone's healthy, I think the most realistic one is 110 games. I think that line was set assuming that we're not healthy.
Well, no one's ever so healthy. 110's a lot. 110's
a lot, but like that's assuming zero injuries.
We won 103, so I mean, how do you value those players that got hurt? I'd say 7 games worth of WAR with those guys at least. It could happen.
I could see Glaber being top two MVP, but top two MVP in the AL. There are a lot of good players in the AL.
Yeah, but Betts is gone now too, so that takes one out of the picture. Judge is obviously going to be in the mix. Stanton could be in the mix. We got a lot of players that could.
If you say a Yankee is top two in the MVP, then I would switch it.
I mean, we have
Glaber specifically.
We have 4 or 5 in the top 10 for the odds. So I mean, definitely a possibility there. I think the least likely is the Stanton and Judge combined for 100-plus home runs. That's just ridiculous.
Do you think any two Yankees will combine for 110?
No. I think a better question would be if you combined Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez for 100. Because they're going to spend some time on the IL,
but DL, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, health permitting, no one's ever going to play. Are you saying health permitting play 162 games? Because that just doesn't happen.
No.
A healthy season, playing 140-ish games each, I don't think anybody hits 50. Yeah. Like it could happen. They both did it that 1 year together. So actually, you know what?
I don't think it's gonna happen.
I don't know.
No, that's
and Cole 25-plus games. When was the last time anybody won 25? I don't know.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
That'd be crazy.
No, that's
sick,
absurd.
Though.
Yeah. Next question comes to us from The Hitter Sports. Don't know your real name, but
The Hitter.
Love you. I believe Stanton is underrated in the field and should be the starting left fielder over Tauk and Miggy, especially with the money he gets. Miggy should DH. Thoughts? So that borderline wasn't a question till the end. But
no, I'm actually going to jump in. I think that with how much he gets paid is a really good point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he's only DHing, then that makes him probably the most overpaid player in the league because you're not going to pay – you don't want to pay that much for a DH unless he's like maybe Ortiz and on the tail end of his career. But – like, you know, if he can field you right, I think, I don't know if I like him there more than I like Talkman there, but I think the money he gets is a really good point that he's not exactly earning his paycheck if he's just a DH.
But do you think Boone is really thinking about that when he puts the lineup out every day?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so.
I think there's pressure from the owners, yeah.
Really?
If the owners are the ones cutting the checks, no?
No, the only people that Boone listens to are the guys on the calculators. In the clubhouse with the stat guys, the nerds, like that's who Boone listens to. He's not listening to anybody, and nobody's telling Boone what to do. You think Steinbrenner's telling him Hal Steinbrenner's telling him what to do? Absolutely not.
If you're winning 100-plus games a year, no one's really telling you to put fucking Stanton left because they're paying him more money than the average player. You know, get the fuck out of here.
It's not
so
really mean.
Similar question: Jeff Long, one of our writers, actually, shout out. Who do you guys prefer to see make the opening day lineup, Talkman in left field or Andujar at DH with Sen sliding to left field?
Andujar DH, stay in left field.
Versus Talkman. I'm a huge Talkman guy. Yeah, I really
don't talk about that enough.
I just really want to see. I really want to see Andujar in there.
Yeah, I just think we overlook Talkman a lot. I agree. We talk about Andujar a lot, and it's such a hard thing because I love talking about how I want to see Andujar's bat in the lineup almost no matter what. But Talkman is somebody that we just kind of passed by because he was hurt at the end of the year and he wasn't up last year. Like, he did very well, but for a pretty limited amount of time. So we're kind of quick to write him off the same way that we were kind of quick to write off Andujar last year. We were talking about who would you keep, Gio or Andujar, when realistically that's not how it's going to happen. And right now, are you telling me you'd really pick one over the other?
I think we give Talkman a lot of love recently.
I love Talkman.
I know us three we gave him a lot of love in previous episodes, but.
No, sure. I'm talking about coming into this year in terms of like him cracking the starting lineup specifically.
I think he can.
Yeah.
I think he can. Opening day, another question was like opening day lineup prediction, specifically the cusp players like that. Obviously, Judge is going to be out there if healthy, all that stuff. I think Talkman has a legitimate shot to be everyday starting outfielder because he's versatile. He's an elite defender, elite in the whole league. I mean, he can play center field. His bat's there. He's a lefty bat for those of who think that is a huge,
it is
huge deal. I mean,
Yankee Stadium, it is.
It is, but I mean, for the breaking up lefty righty, when you got bats like Hick from like Judge and Stan, I don't really give a shit about the lefty righty situation. That's what I mean.
It helps when you know. If you need to have that kind of...
You need to break it up a little. But that exactly. So, another reason why he could really be the starter.
I think it also matters.
Yeah, but I also think that if Mickey continues to hit, I think they'll throw him at DH on opening day and then Stan left field because Stan is, you know, fucking Stan. You know, you can't take away what those two have already done for what Talkman has done to, you know, just throw him out there. I'm not taking anything away from what Talkman's done. I'm just saying... It's two fucking amazing players out there.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's it for me. If you guys have any other closing comments, I think that could wrap up this episode.
No, we'll see you in spring training.
Yeah, so we're going to spring training. If anybody's going to spring training to South Fenway, hit us up. We'll be there. We'll be there for the Saturday game. That's pretty much it for me. Anything from you, Murph?
No, let's go.
What are you showing me?
No, I just there's odds for Astros being hit by pitch, which I don't agree with morally. I think it's kind of wrong to even think about betting on that. But interestingly enough, the player to get hit by the most pitches, they have Bregman as a -105 favorite, which I thought was interesting.
Wow. Altuve already got a piece, so I don't know.
No, this is regular season.
I know. I'm just saying, could get another one. Yeah. He's a small body though, so it's easy to miss him. I feel like bigger guys like Correa, big spot to hit. Even if you try to hit him, get out of the way.
No, you're right.
Anyway,
the longer. If you're trying to hit somebody, you're going to hit
them. Yeah, not if you're that tiny. But anyway, the more we talk, the stupider we sound. So that'll do us from this episode. Make sure you rate, subscribe. We love reading the 5-star reviews if you can give us one of those. But we like reading, more importantly, what you guys think of it. Definitely helps us do more episodes. Follow us on all social platforms if you haven't already. Subscribe to the YouTube. That's it from me. Go Yanks.
Let's go Yanks. For a second, for a minute, can it go?